is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. This is the Aid Northwest Welcome Center report for December 2023. We welcomed our first six guests, one each from Romania, Mexico, and Honduras, and three from India. The Romanian and Mexican men had money to pay for their flight tickets right away, and I drove them to the bus station for the airport bus. The two men from India had their flight tickets purchased by a family member, and as soon as M helped them get their boarding pass on their phone wallets, I drove them to the bus station. We witnessed an emotional moment, hearing a family member call the Honduran woman's name. They had come to pick her up. The third man from India was also picked up by a family member. We received a call from an attorney letting us know that her clients would be released that afternoon and asking if we were able to drive them to the airport. She ended up coming to wait and drive themselves to the airport. At 6:30 p.m., the rain started to fall. Eight people were released, including the two clients of the lawyer. This time, using my car light beams, I helped to secure the flight tickets and check in the men from Nepal, China, and India. The Nepalese man took an Uber to catch his flight and took another guest with him who wanted to purchase his flight ticket at the airport. The Chinese man had money, but not the whole amount to purchase his flight ticket, so we complimented it. The three men from India also had family purchasing their tickets, and only one got help with the check-in and boarding pass. This same one called an Uber to take them to the airport and help the other two Indian men who didn't speak English and were still confirming the purchase with their families to secure their boarding pass. The Chinese man got a ride with them to the airport. It's always a blessing to serve. And we greeted four guests, a woman from Mexico bound for Texas, and three gentlemen from India. Two of the Indian men were bound for Indianapolis, but wanted to go to the Sikh temple. The other was bound for San Jose and got a ticket to head there tonight. Teresa was able to procure the ticket for the woman from Mexico, and Mary got the ticket for the Indian gentleman heading to San Jose. Our regular taxi drivers were not available to take the other two men to the Sikh temple, so they ordered an Uber. Perry took the two to the airport and planned to help the woman from Mexico get her boarding pass there. Mary was able to get the Indian gentleman's boarding pass saved to his phone. All four of our guests spent a good amount of time on their phones talking excitedly with family members. Two of the Indian gentlemen donated $20 each to Aid Northwest. Wendy's group dropped off mandarins and sack lunches for our guests. Mary spent a good amount of time talking to an ICE officer. They were both trying to help a detainee find a temporary home for her dog that she'd had to leave at the pound. Both of them are dog people. Mary also donated some coats. It was a pleasure to serve and a good day's work. And we welcomed six guests out of the warm rain into the shelter of the tents. Around 2:30, a man from Colombia and a man from India joined us. They were elated to be released, and we quickly helped them purchase tickets using their credit cards. They spent their time waiting for a ride to the airport, happily talking with friends and family on their phones. Around 4 p.m., four more guests arrived. The two men from India decided to go to the Sikh temple, and we called a taxi driver to pick them up. Our other two guests were a man and a woman from Mexico. The woman was going to Wisconsin. The young man from Mexico waited diligently for his family to purchase his ticket to California, but by 5:45 still didn't have his boarding pass. He assured us his family would send his confirmation code to his phone, and he was ready to go to the airport. And Compared to recent days, it was quiet night at the Welcome Center, with only one person released, and before 2 p.m. All we could do was get him a coat and bid him farewell before he was picked up at 2:10 by someone who had paid his bond. The rain rolled in sometime after 4, battering the tents and the RV. Mark, Mary, Jerry, and I sat in the tent between two heaters, sharing stories of warmer days at the Welcome Center and learning a bit more about each other. And we had a fairly quiet day at the Welcome Center, welcoming 3 guests. The first, a man from Mexico, came out right around 2 p.m. He had a court hearing scheduled for Friday morning that he was concerned about getting to. Carla took him inside to clarify when his hearing was and confirmed the time and date. Maya arranged for another volunteer to transport him in the morning after he spends the night at the hospitality house. The next guest, a man from India, came out at 3:40, and his brother quickly bought him a plane ticket. A few minutes before 5, we got a call from ICE saying that there was one more release tonight and none planned for tomorrow. At 5 p.m., a Chechen man was released. After we gave him a jacket, he first walked down the road a ways to wait for his friend to pick him up, but we convinced him to stay in the warm tent until his friend arrived. Mark whisked the other two men to hospitality house and the airport and also took 2 propane tanks to fill. And I found a young man from Mexico waiting by the tents when I arrived at 1:45. He had a healthy amount of Canadian currency to buy his ticket to New York. Brenda and Dave sprang into action and took him to their bank to exchange his money for U.S. dollars, and we bought his ticket using the Aid Northwest credit card. The next release was a woman from India headed to Mississippi. She explained that she was to join her fiancé there, whom she hadn't seen in over a year. She was overjoyed and visibly relieved once Christine finalized her ticket there. Mary took off for the airport with our Mexican and Indian guests at 4:30. ICE informed us at about 5:15 p.m. that there would be one more release, and a young man from Honduras came out about 5:45. He was to be picked up by his aunt in King County. In a phone call with her, it became clear that it was challenging for her to find transportation. I dropped the Honduran guests at the aunt's place on my way back to Seattle, and we closed up about 6:30. And there were 3 people released, all at the same time, just before 5 p.m. A gentleman from Somalia had family members waiting for him. Michael had spoken with them earlier in the afternoon, told them that he hadn't been released yet, and showed them where to wait. When he was released, he went straight to their car and didn't visit the tents. There was also a man originally from El Salvador who had been living in California for many years. He'd been inside for over a month and was initially detained because he had failed to renew his work permit. His cousin visited us in the tents but had to stop by her workplace. We called her upon his release and she quickly came to pick him up. A woman from China who'd been living in California was released and Michael quickly helped her book her ticket. Her debit card wasn't working and she was short $20 for her plane ticket, so Michael and Donna each generously donated $10 so that she could purchase her ticket and be reunited with her family later tonight. Donna took her to the airport as soon as the boarding pass was printed, and we closed up shop and were on the road by 5:45, a good day's work for all involved. And it was a chilly but nice afternoon as we welcomed 2 gentlemen from India and Pakistan at 4:30. The man from Pakistan spoke English, and we were thrilled to hear that he had won asylum and that he had represented himself before the judge. He was headed to Boston, but needed some time to get his flight arranged. The man from India spoke no English, but the charming man from Pakistan interpreted for us. He was going to Bakersfield, not an easy or cheap place to fly to, and he also needed more time for arrangements. We gave him clothes, jackets, hats, hot coffee, and took them to the hospitality to spend the night and get travel plans settled. It was a fun evening with my outstanding fellow volunteers. And The pleasant weather and interesting conversation made for a rewarding day. We had one visitor inquiring about protests and La Resistencia, who gratefully accepted our info and a card, and she said she would be interested in volunteering with us. Around 4:30, Mark arrived with the two men who had spent the night at Hospitality House and were now headed to the airport. One was the man who won his asylum case, and he had a story to tell. Although we didn't hear about his travel to Tijuana, Mexico, from there he climbed the wall, steps are welded onto the south side, and dropped. In the process, he injured his foot and was taken to a San Diego hospital for 24 hours and then released. He asked for assistance in finding an immigration office, but no one could help. They put him in a taxi to a bus stop, but he got the taxi to take him back to the border, where he was unable to find anyone who could help him with immigration. Finally, he got in touch with a friend in Canada who bought him a bus ticket to Vancouver. Canadian Customs turned him around at Blaine, and at the U.S. border, ICE brought him to Tacoma 5 months ago. He was very happy to be free and shared a video of him barbecuing lamb near the Khyber Pass. And the short story is we had three guests and no trips to the airport. I have to start the longer version of this report with appreciation for my fellow volunteers. Is it the nature of the work, the cause, or just serendipity that puts us in the orbit of such wonderfully interesting people? I leave each shift enriched by my conversations with caring travel enthusiasts, humbled to witness these giving multilinguists, or budding multilinguists, step up to help improve the lives of our guests. We welcome three men to the tents. Our first two guests were from Russia and Guatemala. Our Russian guest needed to be in Everett tomorrow by noon, but had no money, phone, or contacts, and decided he would spend the night in the Tacoma Rescue Mission shelter and head to Everett tomorrow morning. We gave him snacks, a sack lunch, toiletry bag, jacket, duffel bag, and $10 cash from petty cash, supplemented by more cash from Steve's generous wallet, before Steve and Chris took him to the shelter. As he spoke almost accentless English and had been living in the U.S. for quite a while, we felt hopeful he would make it to his appointment on time. Our guest from Guatemala contacted friends in Oregon, who left Salem immediately to pick him up. Because they wouldn't arrive until close to 8 p.m., Chris and Kim offered to take our guest to the Tacoma Mall, where they would wait with him until his friends arrived. Though huddled as close as possible to the heater, he assured us he didn't need a warm coat. He wasn't interested in food, but did accept charge for his phone and a bag for his documents. Our final guest from Iraq arrived a few minutes before ICE called to let us know they were done for the day. After I explained who we are and what we do, he told me his lawyer had contacted someone who had arranged for him to stay somewhere for several weeks. I called the ever-patient Maya to find out if she knew anything about our guest. Sure enough, our executive director had spoken with our Iraqi guest lawyer, had arranged for him to stay at the hospitality house, and had sent me an email outlining the plan. Aiden dropped by at just the right time to transport our guest to the hospitality house. And slow night at the RV with no releases and no call from the powers that be about what to expect on Monday. Claudia was showing a new volunteer around and found a few boxes of snacks left in the second tent. We took them into the RV. Thanks to Michelle and new volunteer Catherine for sharing their time on this chilly and uneventful night. And Maya stopped by to let us know that she had been contacted by a lawyer who informed her that a young man, originally from Sudan, would be getting released today and that his travel arrangements had already been made. The young man had been living in Alaska for over 10 years and spoke excellent English. Tomas and Jennifer signed him in and helped him print his boarding pass. He called his family in Alaska to let them know that he was out and the time that his flight would arrive. He was grateful for the assistance Aid Northwest provided and was excited to be heading home. He said that he was perfectly comfortable taking the bus to the airport, so Steve took him to the station. It was a pleasure working with my fellow volunteers and a good and easy day's work. And there was a gentleman from Honduras who had someone waiting for him. They left after spending a short time at the Welcome Center and receiving a coat. There was also a couple from Venezuela who had been married for 20 years. The husband was a lawyer who had to leave the country after participating in protests against the current regime. They were seeking political asylum in the U.S. They spent 3 months in ICE detention, and it was the first time they had ever been apart. The other two releases were a Sikh couple who were headed to Bakersfield and were anxious to get to the airport. Unfortunately, that destination has limited flights. We explained that LAX was a more affordable option and asked if their son could pick them up there. In the end, they decided to spend the night at a friend's home and fly out tomorrow when prices dramatically lowered. And we met one guest today. Bill and I chatted briefly with Joan, who came all the way from Seattle to drop off sack lunches, and Diu, who also dropped by after visiting a detainee. Our guest was a man from Mexico who lived in L.A. and was detained at the Peace Arch after visiting his mother in Canada. Nick and Bill had a chance to chat with him in Spanish, while I understood a bit. Our guest's sister called with ticket information and for an early morning flight, and shortly after, Jerry took our guest to the airport. ICE called and spoke to Bill earlier to see if we could help someone who didn't have an address to go to. Bill said yes, but the person would have to stay at the rescue mission if they had an orange or red car. The person was not released, though. And we received a total of 4 releases today. As soon as I started my 2 p.m. shift, a woman originally from China was already waiting. She had been living in Miami for 9 years, and that was her destination. She had an attorney who was going to come with her belongings. As we were waiting, Dixie found an American Airlines direct flight that would cost around $500. A few moments later, that price climbed up to over $2,500. We figured that we needed to quickly book a flight and found a United flight for $500 with one stop. She gave me her credit card to make the purchase. As I was entering her number, I noticed that her card had a business name. When I hit the purchase button, the payment was rejected. Right after that, the attorney came and said that the guest friend might have already purchased a ticket for her. What divine intervention! Or more likely, it was that our guest forgot that her billing address was either her business address or home address. The attorney took our guest to her office. Around 3 p.m., we found a man and a woman from Venezuela with a group of friends who had been waiting in a car. We checked them in, gave them jackets, sandwiches, and some snacks before they headed down to Portland. Finally, at 6:30, the last man was released. The ID said he was from Ukraine, but he said that he was from Russia. He had no money and no family in the U.S. We decided that it was best for him to stay at the hospitality house, since he has no definite plan. And a family with 4 little children had come from Portland. The mother expected to visit her husband, but found that visitation hours for him were only on Monday and Friday. She asked about sending money to her husband inside. Anne, who was the newest volunteer among the 3 of us, had paid attention during training orientation. She knew that a family member or friend can send money to a detainee using the machine inside the building entrance. According to the GeoGuard, the 2 machines inside can both be used to give money to detainees for phone cards, but the smaller machine closest to the door is better because money sent via that machine can be used for phone cards or the commissary. And the bare details. There were no releases, no call from ICE, and no news of tomorrow's releases. The richness. Wonderful company with Mark, I, Diu, and Jerry, and conversation ranging from asylum seekers in Morocco to angling in Argentina. Lunch bags with separate sandwiches and fruit were dropped off by a kind couple from Seattle. We removed the older fruit, and it will get to a food bank in the morning. And here's what our volunteers accomplished this month. 21 rides given by volunteers, 37 visits in detention, 300 letters written, 11 deportation bags given, 155 phone funds, 19 backpacks, and 15 coats. And, on a happier note, love is in the air. 8 Northwest will be having a buffet dinner and silent auction on February 10th, 4 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at St. Leo's Bix Hall, 710 South 13th Street in Tacoma. So you can look forward to a bountiful buffet, drinks and coffee, and an energetic dessert dash. And there will be a performance by the Tacoma Refugee Choir, plus a live auction. This is your chance to support 8 Northwest and help them continue their vital work. For more information, you can contact Volunteer Coordinator at aidnorthwest.org. That's Volunteer Coordinator, all one word, at aidnw.org. So this is Louisa Beale with 8 Northwest and Radio Tacoma, and I have the pleasure of talking to Aiden Perkinson.
Hello.
Hi. This is the first time I've really talked to Aiden. I met you briefly at the Welcome Center last week, and it was incredibly busy.
Yes.
But man, there were a lot of people, and everyone had a phone. And is it always like that?
No. We had an especially high number of releases over the last week due to ICE failing to schedule asylum hearings correctly, I believe. So someone there messed up. And as a result, a lot of people were given bond or released.
Wow. Well, I guess that's good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's always good when people get out. So. Yeah.
So you've been at the Welcome Center for how long now?
So I started at the beginning of June. And over the summer, I was there twice a week. Since September, it's down to just once a week for me, and working in the office as well now.
Yeah. All important work. So I was very impressed with the Welcome Center and with all the stories I hear coming out of there. Do you have any favorite stories about the people that come through?
Ooh. That's tough because there are a lot of them. One that's really stuck with me as an early favorite, back in June or July, we had a guy come through who was, I believe, from Samoa, and he'd spent 15 years in prison and was then picked up by ICE immediately when he got out of jail and then spent another 5 years in detention for finally being released.
Yeah.
But he was an incredibly nice man.
Oh my.
He'd crocheted so many hats and various other things, and he was giving them out to volunteers and was extremely grateful for all the help he received.
Oh my. Well, I hope he ended up somewhere where he's appreciated.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, the story that I like, that because I get the Welcome Center reports for the monthly report, and the one that came through, I don't know, a couple months ago, was from someone who described how you had given one of the releases your shoes because he had no shoes. I thought that was wonderful. So what prompted that?
Well, I believe he did have shoes, but they were way too small for him. So it would have been extremely painful. And I happened to have my work boots in my car anyway. So I gave him my flip-flops.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So that'll get him going.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. I mean, the stories that come out of there. Is there anything that you find particularly difficult in all of this? Because there's got to be some heartbreak, I know.
One of the most difficult things we experience at the Welcome Center is when a family member arrives to pick up someone who then doesn't end up getting released.
Oh, yeah.
That is really heartbreaking, especially as the day goes on. You can see
Yeah.
them starting to realize that they might not come out that day.
And they've probably driven a long way with all this anticipation, and yeah,
Yes,
that is
very
tough.
often.
That is, yeah. So, how did you become involved with Aid Northwest?
So I heard about Aid Northwest from a talk one of my professors gave on the immigration crisis, and I was looking for something really meaningful to do over the summer. So I applied and got involved and discovered that I really love the work we do and the impact we have. So I've just kept up with it ever since.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So what class was that where the professor was discussing all of this?
She's a professor of sociology and anthropology. It wasn't in a class, but just a lecture she gave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting the word out. My goodness. It's important.
Yeah, it really is. Especially since we rely so much on community support.
Yeah, because everything really is donated that comes through the Welcome Center.
Yes, exactly. Everything from backpacks to hats and coats to bag lunches to take to the airport, all comes from people donating.
Yeah. And donating time. I know there are PDAN drivers, which I'm trying to remember now. It's Post Detainee Something Network.
Post-detention accompaniment network. Yes.
Accompaniment. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, because not only their time, but their vehicle and the fuel needed, because they drive them all over.
Yes, exactly. And they can spend a lot more time volunteering than those of us at the Welcome Center on some days because they almost always will take someone when they get to the airport. They will take them inside and through security and all the way to their gate just to make
Wow.
sure that,
Yeah.
any difficulties they encounter, they can get past.
Yeah, that really is going the second mile.
It really is.
Yeah. So, what would you say to someone who's interested in volunteering, but not quite ready to jump into the Welcome Center?
Well, we have a lot of avenues for involvement. Even if you're not able to get down to the Welcome Center, we have a visitation program and also a pen pal program. So, people detained in the Northwest Detention Center can request either of those, either a visitor who will come in when they can, just to give them that human connection. But also the pen pal program is very popular. And that's exactly what it sounds like,
Yeah.
writing letters back and forth.
Well, that's got to be pretty fulfilling too, knowing that you're connecting personally with someone who's in detention. And I mean, who knows what the stories are? There's got to be as many stories as there are people who are, picked up or in detention, and the whole everything that's going on.
Yeah, the pen pal letters are especially meaningful to people inside. A lot of them have no way to connect with family or friends. So it's really the only sort of social relationship they have beyond that that they have within their cells, basically.
Wow, yeah. And that's something that can be done pretty much anywhere. I mean, they wouldn't need to be in Tacoma or the, Puget Sound area even.
Yes, exactly. When the letters are delivered back to Aid Northwest, we scan them and email them. So you can do the pen pal program from anywhere with access to the US mail, basically.
Oh, wow.
And people do.
Wow. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add? I know that you've been starting to work at the hospitality house.
Yes, so I've been working as the office assistant since the start of September, which so I split my time between the hospitality house and the welcome center. And as the office assistant, I help coordinate most of what we do, especially the visitation and pen pal programs, and also phone funds. We provide phone funds so that people who are detained can connect with family or even their lawyers. And they call in to request them, and then we fill them for as long as our budget allows. And that is a hugely popular program.
Yeah, and so needed. So, if someone wanted to volunteer for, like a pen pal or even the Welcome Center, it's if my memory serves, the email is volunteercoordinator@aidnorthwest.org.
Yes, or you can visit our website, aidnw.org, and fill out an application on there. It's pretty simple. A lot of it is about what your interests are. And yeah, if you think you'd be interested, please do apply. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, it's good work. It's good work.
It
I really,
really is.
yeah. Okay, so anything else you'd like to add before I let you go?
I'd just like to say thank you for doing this and helping to spread the word.
You bet. The word shall be spread. Thank
Great.
you so much, Aiden.
Thank you.
Aid Northwest will be having a buffet dinner and silent auction on February 10th, 4 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at St. Leo's Bix Hall, 710 South 13th Street in Tacoma. So you can look forward to a bountiful buffet, drinks and coffee, and an energetic dessert dash. And there will be a performance by the Tacoma Refugee Choir plus a live auction. This is your chance to support Aid Northwest and help them continue their vital work. For more information, you can contact volunteercoordinator@aidnorthwest.org. That's volunteercoordinator, all one word, at aidnw.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is aidnw.org. You can email us at volunteercoordinator@aidnorthwest.org. That's volunteer coordinator, all one word, at aidnw.org. Aid Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.